Hello everyone, this is the first Anahita Hangout session, and we have Dale, we have Scott, we have Andy, and Ash, and myself, I'm Rustin, again, this is the first session, which means many things can go wrong, but we're going to do it anyway. So, great to have you guys here.
It's really great to have you guys.
And when everyone speaks, speak nice and loud and clearly. So.
Okay, well, I think I'm just going to say for people, the purpose of the Hangout is really first to get to see you guys, because we're talking almost on a daily basis now. And, you know, arguing, sometimes fighting, sometimes giving each other cyber hugs. And right now it's good to actually see the faces and, it feels nice.
It's awesome.
and the second is to basically, I know we communicated a lot about Anahita, about the vision and how everything's going to, basically, the things we do on a daily basis. And here, it's also a great chance for other people to hear about it, and we can talk about it in voice, which is, I guess it's nice.
Yeah, let's see how it goes, because this is something I like to continue, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's more like a friendly chat. And
all right, I think Dale wanted to go first, and go ahead, Dale.
Okay, so I had a question specifically about plans to migrate to Nuku Servo.
Mm-hmm.
For, I guess, next year.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the roadmap for that?
Well, we're definitely planning to go. We'll be using Nuku Server. As soon as we talked about it several times, we were even thinking maybe we should do it before the year or after the year. But the thing is, we have a lot of the Nuku Server is still on the Alpha 5, I think, right now. Mm-hmm. And basically, we want to make sure that it's stable, like at least to the beta state before we can move on. But as soon as it's stable, we move on. But also, our move to the Nuku server is not just changing one platform for another. We need to, because Anahita uses Nuku server, we'd be rewriting part of it in Anahita way. For example, we were thinking of removing the COM article to actually build Anahita, which comes with commenting, tagging, and liking, as instead of the CMS. So, so we sort of have to plan all those before we can just make the jump. So the whole idea is to make ourselves as close as possible to the way we want to be, and then make the jump to Nuku server. So we were thinking probably would be for Anahita 1.8, and then that would be next year.
Again, that's just a guess because, because we look, it really depends. We look at the state of the code on both Anahita and Nuku server, and we decided, okay, now it's the perfect time. Let's merge. You never know. It might happen before that. It might happen in one of the 1.7 releases.
Well, there are some issues. Well, one is that they do actually have some native components that we have to rewrite because it has a naming conflict with us.
Yeah.
So we need to actually resolve those. For example, they have a com groups, which is for user types. So we need to. We didn't know what to do. So we said, okay, which one is easier to write? So we're going to rewrite theirs and just call it com user types and things like that. I think that's actually the only one. And Paris, I'm not sure if they've done that or not. They're introducing a com pages. I don't know if it's a replacement for com menu or what it is yet. So I haven't looked at it closely. So if there are name conflicts, we have to resolve those. Because let's face it, every platform, they want to pick up the premium names for themselves. We did it. They should do it too. Right?
The other part is also, We will not use the, Anahita will not be a Nuku server preloaded with Anahita. We use a Nuku server as an ingredient to build Anahita, which means just like any time that we incorporate a new technology, it, just like any time that we incorporate the new technology to Anahita, we only take what we need, and we feel free to make changes or strip down the parts that don't relate to Anahita. Because the main goal is to build a unified and seamless Anahita experience at the end. So, did we answer the question, Dale?
Yes.
Good. And who would like to go next? Andy.
Sure, why not? Well, shall I ask something? I think Scott mentioned, and it looks like he's having trouble there.
Yes, we're still waiting for Scott to come through.
Yeah. He mentioned something about moving on to 1.6, 1.7, and what the process might be and how it might. How we might migrate our existing sites over and so on.
For the there's some major database migrations which we're gonna have all those. For some special cases, I think we need to actually help you guys out individually. I think for you, I need to maybe sort of like. Have you start on a test staging one? As any other update, we have all the migration that actually should take you from this existing 1.5 to the 1.6.
Actually, it would be 1.7. Sorry,
1.7. Yes.
Yeah.
There might be special cases that we need to like handle individually per cases because, to be honest, one of my pet peeves are migrations for social network. I don't know. And I got advice from, who was the developer of BuddyPress?
I think his name was Adam or Andy as well.
And anyway, before we had Anahita, like we were still in the development of Anahita, we never thought about migration. And I asked him that, how do you do the migration? Because he already had BuddyPress out. And he said, don't worry. Then once you have the data, you can shape it to any way you want. So basically, that's what he told me. I use his advice to. We've been providing migration for the past 8 9 months. But for the 1.7, we're gonna do the same. But we really need to do some testing, especially to help you guys like cases, because I don't know. Because there's a lot of database migration, sort of. We have to see how that works. So.
Gotcha.
That's for the.
I've kept things as simple as I can, my end.
Go on. Yeah.
Yeah. Try to keep things as simple as possible, our end. I think the only thing we're doing, which is a bit odd, is the custom groups thing, and you know all about that. So.
Are you using custom groups, or what do you mean by custom groups?
Yeah. Sorry, the custom group fields, the CGF.
Oh, those ones. Yeah, those ones, I'm going to keep those. Those should still work. I actually had a plan to sort of bring those to a custom profile. Well, the idea is that we're removing the open social fields, and they're going to be added as a plugin. And then imagining the same mechanism that we save. You know how we're storing the custom profile fields right now on your... basically, you sort of hard code the fields into your HTML, and the plugin captures those fields on the save. What I'm basically planning, use the same mechanism, but a little more automatic, because right now you still have to go template overwrite and do it to be able to handle those cases. And open social... fields should be stored the same way, basically with the same ID. It gets installed as a plugin.
Yeah,
and then
I think Andy is that whiskey or tea?
I'm afraid not. No, it's just a glass of white wine. Unfortunately.
Oh, white wine. Oh, that's good. What time is it there right now?
I wasn't expecting that. I think she just wanted to see who I was talking to.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we should have our own wine party here. So.
Yeah.
So So for the custom profile, yes, that we're gonna use. we're gonna have to make sure that everything that we have should, like, basically, and this is thanks to Rustin, because I'm the one who always go ahead and build all these things in my head, and he always tells me, listen, we just, the plan is to make sure everything, existing thing that works should work in 1.6 and 1.7. So, yes, we're gonna make sure that all those have to work, the existing existing features, so yeah.
I think the prime features that we like to see in 1.7 are the custom fields that we have. We need a good composer to be able to start creating a medium node right when you're in on a profile, so you don't have to click through to an app. We also changed the privacy management for the And Ash can explain more on that. Little things like being able to share a medium node with multiple owners, or comments are now nodes, and that was a huge difference. Because even in Elk, I was checking yesterday, if you want to search, you search the comments separately. But in a social networks, comments are as important as the topic. They're nodes, so they can be liked. They can be so. We change that, and hopefully it will be a very seamless, we can integrate that in a seamless search result. And my favorite way, also, we like to implement a good searching mechanism, and is that I like it to look like Google. And that's my personal opinion. Just the way you go to Google, there's a box you put in, and it searches. Of course, you can filter down by a type like of the medium, like web pages or blogs or discussions or image or video. But overall, Google follows this algorithm that looks at the number of incoming links, the number of outgoing links, and the quality of every web page. In a social network, it's the same. We have followers, we have leaders, we have a quality of a node based on number of comments, number of likes, number of followers. And we can use all those parameters to sort the search results. And we can even provide options that you can put in your own algorithm to sort the search results, because different social networks have different context. You can have... some sites are very comment intensive, or they're focused on photography, or they're focused on text and blogs, or some of them are very like intensive. So you should be able to change the algorithm as you go to how to sort those results. And that would be for search, and I think search is very important, because in Anahita, unlike many other social networks that are mainly used as a news network, as a communication medium, we are building social networks where people go and get things done, which is very contrary to the belief. People always look at social networks as a place for distraction or getting news. But here we're actually getting work done. We're doing project management. We're doing providing service and support. And a lot of content are being created on a daily basis, so we need a good search mechanism. And, of course, Folksonomy, which is one of my favorite parts in social network. And Folksonomy, there's going to be some changes in that, too. In the Web 2.0 world, you add terms and keys and keywords to every media node. In a social network, you do node associations. So you can tag an item either by other actors or by a new concept that we're going to build. It's still in the theory stage, but called knowledge nodes. That, let's say, if you want to search for less CSS or coffee or pineapples or MVC, you can go to a single page and it gives you...
all the resources related to that.
All the resources related to that. So they're going to have their own profile. We don't exactly know the details of it yet, but we figure it out as we build forward, as usual. And also, a lot of scenarios is going to be solved by that. For example, when you just add a medium and you add actors as tags, right there you're just creating a relationship. For example, you add a to-do item, and then I add Andy and Ash and Scott. Then there will be a view you can go and see all the to-dos that are assigned to you. So one generic approach that hopefully is going to replace a lot of the traditional approach that you literally assign something to someone. We're hoping that the tagging is going to become a very flexible, versatile, and generic approach that's going to solve so many scenarios that we have to actually use it and see how it's going to turn out. But those are the things that will happen in the 1.7, in one of the 1.7 releases, and we are very excited about it. So,
can you give an example of how the users actually start to add tags and how you can encourage users to use tagging and so on?
I think it goes back to the part that users really liked for their content to be viewed. And the same way that we do everything right now to SEO our sites, so they get a high ranking and high traffic, that is a good way to encourage community members to, they do everything possible for the content they just created to get more exposure. So tagging will be one of them. And also, tagging is not exclusive to the author or the owner. Other people can also tag. So if I'm interested in content about less CSS, anytime I find a new content, I tag it myself for my own later use. So that's one reason that you would tag.
Can people follow a tag?
That is actually something we also considered. The same way that you follow a hashtag on Twitter, that is essentially following a tag. But we have to see whether it's literally following or it's filtering.
It could be.
There are two different concepts. Yeah, go on, Ash.
Yeah, but it would be like whether it's yeah. Like, I mean, it still sounds like following, but from the technical perspective, yeah, we have to sort of see how that actually works. I mean, following right now can be done as a like a act of actually literally following somebody, or can be done as a, you know, like a, the more you tag things, it's sort of like creates a relationship with, you know, so that way you can, I don't know, would you call it a frictionless following, because you're not actively following, you know. So I'm not sure yes at this time.
Because right now you follow actors. And actors produce stories. Actors are treated as intelligent living beings. And you can follow them. They create stories. Versus a tag doesn't really produce the stories. A tag is a filter. But whether you can follow it, we have to see what knowledge nodes are. We still don't know what they are. I know in biology, we have special regions in human brain, for example, that are specialized for storing certain data, and they don't necessarily initiate pulses, but they do store everything about all the connection, everything about, let's say, pizza or about writing or about speech. But in the software development context, it's something we have to build forward in stages to learn really how it works. So very likely we're going to start from the Web 2.0 style context, at least on the surface, that you just tag things. And then the next level will be building pages that you can filter results by tags. And then the next stage will be a way to follow a tag. Or build a node that certain filters content go through, and then you follow that node. We don't know the details of it right now, but we have a general idea.
I guess one of the drawbacks of following a tag might be that if somebody wanted to come in and pollute a feed with something like spam or something like that, it'd be really easy just to get inside. You wouldn't have to do anything. One of the thoughts I had around that was that Google's commuting
yeah.
Come in handy
Well, Twitter, when you follow a hashtag, you see a lot of noise there too. And then there are ways that we can sort those results. For example, you can say, I follow this tag, but bring me all the results that are had the highest comments and likes and the person who produced that is considered high quality, and then you can determine how high quality they are, how legitimate they are. So that's something you optimize when you build the system. But yes, I agree, because just running through raw information and news, usually 90% of it is bad.
That's exactly, like, I mean, Gaspora also has the following tag, and that's the whole idea of having a social graph, because with the social graph, basically the whole idea of following a tag is brings all the public stories in the system, or the one that actually you can see, that has the tag that you're trying to follow. But there could be a lot of those stories out there, you know, and so you end up with a lot of noise. So I guess the whole idea of using the social graph to bring the stories, and you get the relevant stories rather than, you know, every story that has certain tags in it. So that's something we have to see. Maybe, I'm not even sure, like, I mean, how would it be feasible or not? Like, I mean, do people want that or not, you know, so... Rasmus, do you follow any tags on the Twitter, or...?
I don't really follow tags, but I do use that concept. Yes, I do follow tags on Hootsuite and used to on TweetDeck.
Oh, that's true.
Our own hashtags on Ahita,
right,
or
yes.
Nuku,
yeah.
Or
so your Snoop.
We actually have feeds. Yeah.
Your monitoring.
Yeah,
They're
feeds, though. They're feeds that are filtering the news that come into me. They're not really a follow. I'm not following a profile. So they're
but
filters.
The whole idea is that you're monitoring a system on a dashboard that allows you to basically look at all the public posts that contains a hashtag.
Yeah, and from what I think TweetDeck does, for example, it actually creates a cron on the server. For the feed that you create. Again, we have general ideas about how these should be implemented, but until we actually build it, we're going to find out all the details of it. It's definitely a fascinating field, because as the content are piling up on any top place, we need ways to filter out good content from noise. So, and I think Scott has... Scott's still troubleshooting, but Scott, if you can hear us, one of us can be your voice. And
is my mic working right now?
Is that Scott?
Is the microphone working?
Oh yeah.
You there?
Yes,
okay,
we can hear you. Yes.
Hey. Well, one sense at a time here. Video is coming next. I got it working locally.
Oh, that's good. You know, we have your voice, and that's great. Although it's kind of unfair to have a portrait instead of video, next time I'll put a good-looking picture of myself. Just to...
Well, I'm sorry about that.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's great to have you with us.
No, it's really good to be here.
Yeah.
I think a very cool forum, too. You know, it's amazing how... much more interactive things are when you're able to put a face with a voice with the words. It's great.
It's true. It's very true. So how is your project coming along?
The site's coming along pretty well. I got this week. I've been focusing on getting some contributors, and you guys may have picked up a little bit, but I'm working on beerlovers.com.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, what I've got so far is a executive chef of a club here that has 25 years culinary experience. So it's going to be pairing beer with food and drawing comments around that.
Oh, and, nice.
I've also got this week working through the formalities of getting a 2010 U.S. National Gold Medal Home Brewer that would contribute to the site as well. So the overall concept here would be that people walk away having learned something after spending time on the site. And obviously you guys know, Rastin and Ash probably as well, that I'm working with Talia there. on the visuals, and I think it's really looking beautiful. This has been a very big learning experience for me, but I think it's coming along nicely. So I really appreciate everything you guys are doing.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. Natalia is very good when it gets to design. She's great. So, did you have any questions, Scott?
Well, the main thing I'm looking at now is just trying to plan out where to focus once things are up and running. And I know Annie's quite a bit ahead of me. And Dale, I'm actually not sure exactly where you are on your project, but I'm looking to hopefully go live in the next couple of weeks here.
Oh, nice.
And then from there, what I wanted to do was start building out some of the custom functionality. And that's where I had questions and concerns about how best to plan around some of the transitions that are coming out, not only just with the upcoming 1.6.1.7, but also the new Coursera and things like that. I'd started to translate a custom group profile that was something that it kind of got sidelined, but as things are starting to progress, I think on the Anahita side of things, it sounds like it may be a little bit wise to hold off until some of that code base is finalized, that I can simplify that exercise.
Sure. The other reason, like in general, when anyone builds a project, these are my general advice, is that start small and use only what you need. And keep the branding minimal. I know that one is very difficult for a lot of people, but I say it anyway. because when you one of the challenges with building social networks is that the user interface changes a lot. And versus CMS that a lot of people are used to, the user interface, the structure of HTML is more or less the same. I mean, if you look at Joomla or WordPress, the structure of user interface is mostly the same for the last 4 or 5 years. But social networks, the user interface changes a lot. And so if you build a very graphically intense user interface, you're going to have problem upgrading it. Or there's always going to be a delay. And in the 1.7 or 1.6 Anahita, we've made a lot of changes to the templating. We made it actually simpler. Using less CSS. CSS is far more manageable. We actually moved all the CSS to the Anahita. And it's a lot more manageable, a lot faster. Already I noticed the faster rendering speed. So those are some areas that you're going to be looking at when you're upgrading your template. I do recommend you to build a staging site and a live site. So on the staging site, you can apply your updates first. And a staging site is a copy of your live site that is not publicly accessible, but it has the latest code, latest data of your live site.
Sure.
So you apply your updates there, and you develop a strategy on how to update, and then you apply that to your live site. So it's a way for you to prototype your update. For your custom apps, yes, you're going to have to keep up with the changes. Fortunately, when you use Anahita, you only have to worry, if you build it using Anahita framework, you only have to worry about Anahita framework. Because we are also using Nuku, there were concerns in the Nuku community about the different revisions. In Anahita, if you build using Anahita framework, you only have to worry about Anahita framework. You don't have to worry about Nuku, which makes it a lot simpler in our domain.
Okay. Now, with respect to the changes you guys have been making for 1.6.1.7, it sounds like the Anahita framework itself has undergone some adjustments.
Yes, a lot. Fortunately, though, from the developer perspective, it actually become easier to... Most of the complexity of the app has gone to the framework, so it's actually a lot easier to... if you have an existing app or existing idea, it's actually the way to transfer is to more take out from your code, yes. So, but we're going to have some tutorials on how to basically transfer your apps from an existing framework 1.5 to the new one. Once everything is more stabilized on 1.6. So you, I mean, you guys should, you have access to the SVN and you can have a look at it. And I told Andy, once within in the upcoming weeks for 1.6, I'm gonna run the PHP doc, so we can actually have the API available on the web for you guys to see.
Okay.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that's. I totally agree. I did run the PHP doc one time for 1.5 back in the days. It's just, it's not an easy task. I mean, every time you run the PHP doc, there's a code sniffer that I have to install that actually checks your code before you commit to the SVN, and that way it makes sure that your syntax is correct, not like that your structure of the, because a PHP doc follows a format on your code.
Yeah.
A code sniffer basically makes sure that before you commit that you have everything right. In terms of the package name, the even the number of tabs, things like that. So so these are the things I want to basically get started on for the 1.6, and it's a good resource for people. I mean, I do use API references everywhere for every other apps.
And for those who are listening to this recorded version of the Hangout, if they don't know, 1.6 is a transition release. It's a transition from 1.5 to 1.7. So the stable 1.6 will be labeled 1.7, and then from that point and the goal is to build the existing features of 1.5, but using the new code base. There are of course still a lot of improvements and some new features, such as the you can plus one or vote up nodes. And then in 1.7 we deliver the new features in multiple releases, because then we have the infrastructure to build it. So that's how it works. I believe Dale had a question. Dale, would you like to actually?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, my question was pertaining: would you guys support a third-party platform as a service or a software as a service that actually deploys Anahito for other tribe members?
Ash?
Who's a third? Well, you mean a third party, like somebody else or us? I don't understand.
all right, specifically me. I'm actually looking at that. I've been working on a project last month with Anahito as well as my own project, and also doing some support for some of the tribe members. I was thinking about actually doing a full template server that would actually do a deployment for them for database, web layer, and we'll also do the scaling as well if they need it. So it would be something that they wouldn't maintain the actual infrastructure, just the code if needed.
Okay, so what do you mean by support? Do we support in? I mean, first of all, let me say it's really good what you're doing, because actually that's something me and Russell always talk about, that for infrastructure work is basically the future is basically a platform as a service, and Parse.com is one of the ones that we have look up to. But what do you mean by support? Do we support in what, like?
Well, I guess more in terms of endorsing it.
I see. Sure.
Yeah.
If somebody wants, of course, yeah. If somebody, if people like, I didn't even know you were doing that, but sure, that's actually really good what you're doing, and I know it's. I know that there are some people out there who do like basically want to have something like a basically platform as a service,
mm-hmm.
and. Of course, that's our pride.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're doing that for Anahito, that's just it's very interesting. And to let you know that yes, we are like the whole Anahito is moving toward that direction, and it's actually become easier and easier to do those things. Because as we move on to the mobile platform, basically platform as a service is one of the things that people like mobile developers would use.
Okay.
And yeah, sure. I think later we need to have a place for Anaita Police that people who offer services within the tribe member who offer the services can actually offer their services through their. We talked about this several times. We haven't gotten around to doing that, but I think that's actually one of the good places because, I mean, essentially that's what we're doing in Anaita Police. We're giving our, what we've learned, we're giving it back to the community. And I think that's good that if other people want to do the same thing, they should be able to do that.
I'm really interested in that concept to build the environment. Still, I'm not sure how exactly it will work. So we can probably have another hangout and discuss it. What I don't like to see is to happen is a situation like the job bidding sites, that someone has a job and everybody, because it has to be a fair ground both for both the developers and for people who are seeking development services. Because the same way that some jobs are really rare and good quality, I mean, like people who hire, and there are many good quality developers out there too. So we want a fair playground for everyone to be able to find the right match. So the last thing I would want to see is something like Elance or the job bidding sites. Those places, they.
We have Social Graph to protect us for that.
Yeah, it's just but I like to see what format works well that is respectful to the privacy of people and it's simple and it works. And so that's something we can work on, because we a lot of people need development services right now in Anahita, and it's a very niche market that is growing. So it's
well,
great
not just
for developers.
Services. I know a lot of people are looking like Magnus. I think was talking to Dale, or because Dale apparently is the server guru. He does that and the server comes up. And people were like, and I know for a fact it's not easy to set up a server. Like, you know, I mean, once you do it, it's easy after that. But
mm-hmm.
it's just one of those really rare talents that comes. And like Dale is the one, like everybody asked me, I just pointed to Dale. Like, what do you ask me?
Yeah.
Ask the master here, you know? So,
yeah.
Like,
Maybe later when we build organization pages, so anyone can have their own company profile there and their services.
Or we can have some sort of a, on your profile, people can promote what they do, in, like basically, something like, you know, if you need, like, and that way we can use those criteria to connect people. I mean, then again, let's not forget that Anaita is a social network and it's all about connect. At the end, it's not just, you know, like a lot of people connect with us, Rustin and I, because... I mean, obvious, because we sort of have to answer the questions, right? But Anaita is still Anaita Police is a social network, and it's meant to connect people who needs one offer service and the other one needs it. So it's something we like to work on, and it, you know, in the upcoming, basically in the future, and basically connect people, connect right people together. So.
Yeah, maybe I should post out and see who are people available to provide services, and I know already people who are looking for services, how we can build an environment that makes it possible for the right people to meet. One thing I wanted to do, because we are now almost reaching 1 hour, I wanted to see if Andy and Dale wanted to talk about their projects, and if you're interested. Andy, do you want to go first?
Sure. So I'll let you know kind of where I've got up to and where I'm about to go. We've got a whole bunch of users on board, and not a whole lot of engagement. So not a lot of posts, not a lot of sharing.
Okay.
Part of that, I think, it's a bit sort of chicken and egg. You know, you need some content on there first, then people follow it, then people share it, and then they generate their own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And part of it's the mechanism, I think, for engagement. So that's kind of where I'm focused at the moment. And the two things about to launch are the ability for groups, not people, but just groups, to be able to import an RSS feed, which I know is not necessarily everybody's cup of tea, but I'm figuring this is going to go the way of sort of blogs and websites rather than anybody and everybody. And I'm specifically barring Facebook and Twitter RSS feeds. I don't want that, at least not at this stage. So it's going to be, you know, somebody's blog comes along, they see it as an extra avenue. If they get interest, then they'll hopefully come along and start posting more and so on. And the second thing is, you might notice I've been working on some other cards which allow people to follow people as and when they see them rather than having to go to the social graph or to the profile. So like Facebook or Google, you mouse over the name and not up suddenly the button. This is asked in either developer about you to press it on when you're following it. So those are the two immediate things. And then obviously on the horizon are moving up to the next version, which gives that whole liking and sharing, which I think is a real missing link at the moment. So when that comes, I think that'll
quite a big help. A lot of little improvements will be in 1.7 because now we are using Bootstrap and less CSS, we have much nicer looking pop-ups and the API underneath. So a lot of the features you're looking for, I think they're going to be on the way very soon. But in terms of community engagement, an approach that really worked well for us is that when you start a social network, have a pack of people who are nice, who are inspired about your cause, and they just can't stop talking about it or producing content about it. And they are the people. And when 5 or 10 people start doing that, and you're constantly in touch and you're constantly creating, you gain fellowship. Other people want to join in, and that's how you get the party started. Which is why I always recommend people to seed their community with influential leaders, which really means, and they don't necessarily have to be an authority in their own field, but people who are just passionate about the topic and they can produce a lot of good content. So social engineering in that context is very as important as software engineering when you build a social network.
I think it's more important, but
because for the last 10 years, we've been building giant communities with very primitive tools. Like a lot of communities run with a blog and a discussion board. And it was about the team of passionate people who came together to do something, some social activity, build software or do some social cause. Now we have way better tools. But the community management aspect of it hasn't changed much. And there's a book, Art of Community, which is so far the best book I've seen around. I really recommend it. And you can even download it for free as a PDF, or you can buy it on your iPhone for, I think, $7 or $8. Or just
it's
buy the hardcover.
That book, I think.
It's a good book. It's a really a tech-centered book. Because it was really, I believe, Juno Bacon and Leo Laporte co-authored it. It's about the Ubuntu project. But overall, it's a really good book. You can apply a lot of the lessons to your own projects. A lot of it can be applied to other fields. And maybe someday you guys write your own books. Sorry?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The big challenge that I think I've got for my particular niche is that cyclists are not new to social networking at all. They're not obviously pretty social networking, but there are huge communities of social networks. There's things like Sodium Cafe, which is a site-based thing. There's tons of them on Twitter. There's tons of them on Google+. Plenty on Facebook. And the idea is that there needs to be something pulling them to a new place to hang out that's going to be, you know, offers an advantage.
Yep.
I think when I first launched, I wanted to get it out there anyway, just needed to have some sort of feedback, some sort of real life play. But I knew then that really it wouldn't have that sort of thing. So some of these people you need to create that nucleus of the community are saying, well, yeah, but I need to do this and I've got to look after that as well at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, it got complicated.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of eliminating those sort of barriers to entry slowly. And I think the next step, which I was about to get to, was the idea of getting clubs on board. And I think having just one unique feature that really suits clubs, like subscriptions, which is what I really want to get onto once we go onto 1.6, 1.7,
yes,
is that suddenly provides a reason for a club to be there, and a club brings with it a whole bunch of users, an active community, you know each other, you're talking about things and so on. So I think that's what will really make it, but I'm hoping that bloggers will start the ball rolling.
Okay. Would you like to mention the name of your project, or
For people who are watching in black and white, it's psychology.
Yeah.
There's a famous sporting joke about football. Some commentator back in the days when people were switching out from black and white to colour.
Yes.
And, for those watching at home in black and white, Manchester United are playing in the red, and just
said he was
playing in the blue.
Oh, okay. So it's a psychology. What is the domain name?
Well, it's psycholo.g.
Okay.
G-Y. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Very, very good domain name and very nice site.
Yeah. Just to mention, we are so proud of your the work you've done and the questions and everything, because you really push the limits, we really thank you for that. Yeah, we really, really thank you for that. You do tend to write quite a bit. You even max out we understand that's how you communicate. But the work you've done is impressive. We really appreciate it. When it gets to upgrading your site, we're going to be there for you.
Good stuff, Lance.
Yeah. And Dale, would you like to talk about your project as well?
Sure. Okay. Well, I have two projects right now. Social Lingua, which is geared around lifestyle and events and pretty much having people, talk about what's happening in their environment. That right now is still in alpha, and we're looking to have it go out by late 2012.
Mm-hmm.
My other project, which is more recent, is called Smoggy, which is the platform as a service for persons who are not so much developers and not wanting to think about infrastructure.
Yeah,
we just want to get their applications out there. I'm thinking to now launch by supporting Anita.
Yes.
Right. So, what it would do is that take care of all infrastructure needs of the applications, allowing to actually scale up and scale down on its own, as well as do auto recovery and backups by itself as well, or on schedule.
Yeah.
So that should be at least going out for a public beta by second quarter of next year.
It's very interesting you mentioned that, because we also recognize the need for a lot of mobile developers, that they do need right now a lot of mobile apps require some kind of platform or something on the cloud that takes care of the logic and the storage, and they essentially need an operating system, a social operating system, running on the cloud, and where they can connect to. And a lot of them don't want to think about building it. They just need an API to connect to that gives them all the essentials. And that's one of the directions for next year, to build, so we can work on that together, if you like. That's going to be... because... We have done well above 2,000 hours of mobile app development in Vancouver for our clients. For Anaita 1.8, we really want to push for user interface and also mobile accessibility. And a lot of the solutions that we see in the market right now, they're very CMS-centered, which is mainly for reading and browsing, versus on a social network, you're actively interacting. You're editing, you're adding, you're deleting. And it requires a different approach to build user interfaces to connect to a backend. Unfortunately, not much are in the market, and people are building it on their own. So, and projects that we initiated, one of them we mentioned, that tinyrecipe.com. That's actually one of the motivations is that other than it's going to be a fun project, it has all the potential to grow as a company. But a lot of the knowledge we learned from that, we're going to give back to Anahita community in terms of growing a free community, because it's going to be a free service, at least like a major part of it. Mobile accessibility, social, and building a social network that is accessible only through a mobile app.
Yeah.
And
probably like an iPhone SDK for Anahita. Having ability, like I think we were talking about this the other time. You want, like, you were inquiring because you were doing some mobile stuff, and you were inquiring about JSON format. So these are the things that we try to make it Anahita, but unless we actually get into it, building a mobile app, we won't know. So these are the things that basically make Anahita just as accessible from the mobile devices as regular browser. So that's the whole idea. Because and this is, as I said to Russ, the tiny recipes are basically as our excuse to experiment with these things, and whatever we gain, just put it back into the community.
And a lot of features that you really liked and asked for last year, which was geotagging, geolocation,
yes.
And uploading photos from your mobile and other things. Essentially, there should be a platform on the web powered using Anahita that gives you APIs for social graphing, for storage, for geolocation services like that. And you should be able just to sign up and get your mobile app connected and build whatever service you're building. And we are really looking forward to that. And that's going to be 2012 for us.
Cool.
All right. I think now we've been doing this for 1 hour. and it was such a fun session. Anybody else has anything to add or any more questions?
I just have one quick one, I think it is.
Sure. Go ahead.
Could you give us just an overview as to how the activity stream actually works in conjunction with the other components?
How does
the activity stream works in conjunction with the other components in terms of getting notifications out there?
Oh, right now how it works or
yeah.
How? Okay, yeah. That's our secret recipe. that's one of the challenges we had, and it's actually one of the things we're really happy about. We have these special nodes called stories, which they're not really extendable, so they're really part of the social networking operating system. We don't encourage people to extend it. So the whole idea is that a story node has an owner, has a subject, has a target, and it has an object associated with it. How a story node is presented on the screen depends on the app. So whenever a story node wants to show the data, it actually calls the app who created the story node to tell it how to display the app. So that just basically creates a story node. We have this in the previous version of in the current version of 1.5, we do the story summarization on the PHP level. Basically, we have this every app sort of summarize the bunch of stories that relate to them in a way that, you know, that's why when you upload 50 photos, you only see one story on your story feed right now. That's the issue that you had. with the in 1.6, this summarization now actually happens at the database level. So the story aggregation happens. So if you, you know, if you have, let's say, 20 different similar stories, they become one story. They become one story fetched from the database level. So I don't know. I don't. I'm not sure how technical I want to get right now with this. Like, it could go on very become very technical. But what's that?
Very high level.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the things we have to adjust it on a daily, like on a like progressively. Basically, we have to see how the story shows and keep refining it. But it's not that complicated, actually. The whole idea is that the story node contains data, the application provides a template how to show the data, and we have a mechanism to aggregate similar stories based on some criteria, and the aggregation is something that we need to constantly change and find out new ways to do it. For example, that's how Facebook does it right now. If they even have crons to aggregate a bunch of stories together to create a new story. So it's a very live process. You have to keep refining it and refining it. It's very important to us, so we keep. We're gonna start talking about it, I guess, more often. We should start talking more often.
Story feed is the life in a social network, because I guess looking at the history, look at the MySpace and Facebook. The difference was really the dashboard, because MySpace was all about people's profiles, and on Facebook is you spend more time on your dashboard. Yeah, and looking at the incoming status updates from all the actors that you're following, or the people, groups, and events and such. And Twitter is built around that concept. It's the tweets that are coming, that is the incoming stories. We've seen people come and say, oh, I have 200,000 members on my social network, but it's just basically people and accounts, but there are no stories are being exchanged, no messages being exchanged. That community is as good as dead. It's a cemetery. There's no life in it. So stories are important.
Addictiveness of a network is the story, basically.
Yeah, that's where we are, to stay connected. I mentioned that before. I think I mentioned it again, that the difference between CMS and social network, the CMS is mainly there to publish and inform and to impress. That's why we really dress them up. We really make them look beautiful. We put all kinds of animation, everything, because we want to inform and communicate, and also we want to impress. CMS has been very popular with sales and marketing-centered companies. Versus social networks are mainly there for communication and to getting things done, which is why they're more... they're constantly changing and they're constantly evolving, and that is the separation. That is one reason I don't believe that social networks should build inside CMS, because they just don't belong there. They are a completely new generation of applications, which is now part of the philosophy of Anahita. So that's me on the soapbox talking. All right, I think we pretty much filled up the 1 hour, and it was a fun session. Did you guys have fun? I think that it was a great hangout for the first one. I think it went all right.
For the first one, yeah. We need to do this more often, I think. Yeah. That way, I think it's really good, because in 1 hour we can really, you know, it's a lot easier. Like, if you want to put this all in the discussion topic, you know.
Yeah. Well, next thing is I want to see how the recording quality was and upload it. Either I have to see if I can find a good podcasting plugin for our blog, or just put it on the SoundCloud. Actually, I found this service. Maybe that's the right one. I don't know. So, but I'd like to put it out there for people to listen to. And all yesterday, I've been reminding myself that. So tomorrow, I'm not going to sound like a talk show host because I'm not one. I don't have the skills. And so it's just a gathering with friends. We're going to talk about fun things and Anahita. And I think it went pretty well.
Good.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Well, it was a pleasure seeing you guys. Well, Andy and I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now it's time for us to get back to Anahita.